Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aavas Financiers Limited Q3 and 9 months FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sushil Agarwal, MD and CEO. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for participating on the earnings call to discuss the performance of our company for quarter three and nine months for FY22. With me, I have Mr. Ghanshyam Rawat, CFO, Himanshu Agarwal, Investor Relations, and other senior member of management team, and SGA, our IR advisors. The results and the presentations are available on the stock exchanges as well as our company website, and I hope everyone has had a chance to look at it. I'm happy to inform you that during the quarter, the company's long-term credit rating outlook was revised from AA- stable to AA- positive by ICRA. I take this opportunity to thank all our stakeholders for their continued trust and support. During the quarter, the country witnessed the third wave of COVID starting from December. While the infection rate was quite high, but thankfully the symptoms were milder as compared to prior waves. Curbs on mobility and economic activities were largely restricted to weekend and night curfews. Consequently, the impact on business and collections was relatively very low. For quarter three FY22, we disbursed ₹951 crores, registering a 24% year-on-year growth. As end of January, on YTD basis, we have already crossed the full year disbursement of FY21. Having said that, we continue to adopt a cautious approach on growth and give a higher trust to maintaining pristine asset quality and sustaining operating metrics. During the earning call of Q2 FY22, we had mentioned that with regard to 1+ DPD, we hope to reach the March 2021 level of 6.37 by March 2022. With our continued effort, we had improved 1+ DPD notably from 8.88% in September 2021 to 6.45 in December 2021, and this has further reduced to around 6.25 in January 2022. Similarly, our exposure to 90+ DPD assets has come down from 0.96% in September 2021 2.83 in December 2021. But we have also categorized 0.89% of portfolio, which is up to 90 DPD, assessed as GNPA, following RBI's notification dated 12 November 2021 to harmonize IRACP norms across all lending institutions. As a result, total gross stage 3 stood at 1.72% in December 2021. Which got reduced by 20 basis points in January 2022 further. I would now hand over the line to Ghanshyamji, CFO, to discuss various business parameters in detail.
Thank you, Sushilji. Good afternoon, everyone, and I had a very warm welcome to our earning call. During the year, company borrowed an incremental amount of ₹26,790 million at 5.91%. As of December 21, our average cost of borrowing stood at 7.03% on outstanding amount of ₹92,206 million. During the quarter, our long-term credit rating outlook was revised by ICRA from AA- stable to AA- positive, while CARE continues to maintain long-term credit rating AA-. But with positive outlook. Despite the highest short-term rating, A1+, we continue to maintain zero exposure to commercial paper as a prudent borrowing practice. IGAAP to Ind AS reconciliation has been explained in detail for profit after tax as well as net worth on slide number 32 and 34 of our presentation. Key parameters. As on December 2021, total number of live accounts stood at 141,311. That is 19% year-on-year growth. Total number of branches was 298. 35 new branches added in the last 12 months. Employee count of 4,758. 34% year-on-year growth. Asset under management grew 20% year-on-year to rupees 10,000 crores, 601 crore as on December 31st, 2021. Product-wise breakup, home loan 71.6%, other mortgage loan 28.4%. Occupation-wise breakup, salary 39.7%, self-employed 60.3%. Disbursement increased by 24% year-on-year to rupees 9,509 million for quarter 3 FY22 and by 41% year-on-year to rupees 23,150 million for 9 months FY22. As on December 31, 2021, average borrowing cost 7.03 against an average portfolio yield of 12.79% resulted in a spread of 5.76%. Further borrowing, access to diversified and cost-effective long-term financing, strong relationship with the development institutions. Overall borrowing mix as on December 31, 2021 is 38.4% long-term loans, 23.6% from assignment and securitization, 22.8% from National Housing Bank, 15.2% from various debt capital market instruments. Assets quality. One day past due stood at 6.45%, gross stage 3 stood at 1.72%, net stage 2 stood at 1.33% as on December 31st, 2021. Gross stage 3 of 1.72% include 0.89% up to 90-day DPD assets which have been categorized as a GNP following RBI notification dated 12th November 2021. During the financial year, resolution plan has been implemented for certain borrower account as per RBI resolution framework 20 dated 5th May 2021. Such account with an outstanding amount of rupees 1,501 million as on 31st December 2021 have been classified as a stage 2 and provided as per regulatory and Ind AS provision. Provisioning, total provision for COVID-19 impact include that resolution framework 20 stood at rupees 305.8 million as on 31st December 2021. Total ECL provision, including that of COVID-19 impacted, stood at 793.4 million as on December 31st, 2021. Liquidity of the company is 25,430 million as of December 31st, 2021. Cash and cash equivalent of rupees 13,220 million. Unavailed cash credit limit 1,140 million. Documented unavailed sanction from National Housing Bank of rupees 7,500 million. Documented unavailed sanction from other banks 3,570 million. Profitability. PAT increased by 19% year-on-year to rupees 2,413 million for 9 months FY22 as per Ind AS accounting. As per IGAAP, PAT registered year-on-year growth 17% to rupees 2,334 million for 9 months FY22. ROA was 3.37% and ROE was 12.70% for 9 months of FY22. ROA was 3.58 and ROE 13.62 for recent quarter, that is quarter 3 FY22. As on December 31st, 2021, we are very well capitalized with a net worth of rupees 26,655 million. Our book value per share stood at 337.7 rupees. Now this, I open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, you may enter star and 1. We have the first question from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking the question. Hello, Sushilji. Hello, Shyamji. Hope both of you are doing well. So, Sushilji, seen your results, and I think congratulations to you and your team for exhibiting such a sharp improvement in the OnePlus DPT number, which in my view suggests that the collections have been strong and that maybe over the next 2 or 3 quarters, we should hopefully be able to reach that OnePlus DPT of 5%. Also, I think that the organic improvement in asset quality, which you kind of saw during this quarter, was impacted obviously by the RBI NPA circular, and to that extent, you have also conservatively made provisions on those loans as well. And which is why, Sushilji, today, I do not want to ask any questions to you on how you did during Q3 or how do you look at Q4? I have 2 questions today and they are more structural in nature. My first question is on disbursements and OPEX, and they are in a way interconnected. So when I look at your disbursements, I get a little curious as to what is leading to these levels of disbursements. And I say this because having known you and interacted with you for a few years now, I believe that you have had this distribution and operational capacity to do these levels of disbursements even 2 years back. So, sir, if you could just explain the underlying reason for this, is it because the demand on the ground is not as good, or is it because the demand is there, but maybe you are not comfortable with the quality of customers? Or is it because of your consistent approach that you have talked about in the past and that we should read it as the disbursement lull before the storm? And I mean it in a positive way. And so the other interconnected question that I had was on the OPEX. When the disbursements or the business volumes do not quite keep pace with the OPEX, should we read it as that maybe you are significantly adding capacity either in your standalone entity or in your subsidiary, which is Aavas Finserv, in terms of growing out your strategy for the newer states or branch expansions, and that this augmented capacity can potentially lead to significant improvement in your business volumes in the years to come?
Good afternoon. Abhijit, if you will see, for 9 months, we have disbursement growth of 40%. And I think that is in line with what we always say, that we want to be consistent. We are increasing our capacity, and that is also in line with what we are putting OPEX around it. First of all, OPEX last year to this year has 2 significant meaning. Last year, because of COVID impact and everything, the appraisals and salary hikes were limited, which in this year, because of limited parameter, that has significantly increased. And we always say that our 35% of OPEX are directly linked to disbursements. So when disbursements has hiked 40%, I think OPEX are in line with that. But ATA, OPEX to ATA, yes, because of 1 or 2 months COVID impacted, I think that will be in line. But despite that, I think ROA and other metrics are maintained. Secondly, I think disbursement growth is in line with what we see as a consistent player. Right now, I think like last 2 months, we are almost 375 plus crores per month. So if we will take next 12 months also from this run rate also, this is a disbursement growth we can anticipate, which is in line with our theory of 20 to 25% growth year on year in the business. So I think growth side, yes, COVID phase 1, COVID phase 2, COVID phase 3, we have seen, we were more particular about asset quality, which I am seeing now that it is in control the way we look at it, and further this quarter will help us further improve it. Now, we can accelerate our growth on disbursement AUM side a little bit, but we don't want to go overboard. We will be consistent player over a period of time. OpEx, it's normal, like we open 30-40 branches every year. This year also we are in the same trajectory. If you see last 12 months, 35 branches, and right now we are around 300 branches and another 14-15 branches will be opened this quarter. We'll be in line of our consistent play around it. Yes, as the situations will normalize, we will again be showing 25-40 basis point OpEx decrease year-on-year in near term.
Sure. Thank you, Sushil. The last question that I had was if you could help us understand that while your reported spreads over the last three quarters seem to suggest that they have been stable, we see a significant volatility in the computed spreads. While I understand that you are using daily average and we have a limitation of using only quarterly average, if you can give us some comfort around the pricing environment, whether there is any significant pricing pressure from the competition or because your customers who have a very good repayment track record are very amazing poaching targets for your competition. Lastly, if you can share what recent discussions have you been having with your credit rating agencies and when would they be comfortable in giving you your next credit rating upgrade?
No. Abhijit, if you see, we consistent in our approach of maintaining spread, and we say 5% is ideal spread for our business. I think that we are maintaining for more than 40 quarters now. We said that during the COVID, our spread has increased to 5.75% plus level, out of which 25 basis points we have already shifted to our customers in the first two quarters of this year. Hopefully, if COVID situation will improve, we will continue our trajectory of 5% spread, and whatever excess spread, we will shift it to our customer base because that will help us being transparent organization, and it helps us scaling up our business also. I don't know how you calculate, but spreads are always maintained. NIM has increased because, say, earlier out of total balance sheet size, the cash available in balance sheet was high. Now, as per available balance sheet size and cash, the cash proportion has reduced, so income generating assets has got increased, because of which NIM has increased in the business.
Sure, sir. Essentially, just to sum it up, there is really no, significant pricing pressure from your competition, or in other words, you're not having to kind of give maybe lower interest rates to your customers just because they are being poached by the competition.
Abhijit, it's a journey for us. 2011, we used to borrow at 12%, and now Ghanshyam just told that this year we have borrowed at 5.91% in the year. If we want to continue our spread journey, I think it gives us a strength in the balance sheet that we can source both the side of the customer. We will not leave our customer base where we have created the niche, but at the same time, we can enter into a zone where we can have more category A customers, more solid customers, and we can take some part of the customer profile, which we were not able to do because of pricing earlier. I think right now, we are able to maintain our prices, but at the same time, cost is getting reduced. Above 5% spread, we'll shift it to our customer base, as per our practice in the past.
Okay. Lastly, if you could comment on my last question, what discussions are you having on your credit rating agencies, and when would they be comfortable in giving you the next upgrade?
Abhijit, we can't comment on regulatory framework working. Our job is to do consistent performance, and regulators and stakeholders have their right to assess us, and at the right time when they feel comfortable, they can increase our rating.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much, Sushilji, and wish you and your team the very best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Aditya Jain from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Sushilji, will you talk about the impact? So you've conservatively taken a much higher GS3 in this quarter. So the impact of that we've seen one in provisions. Is there also material impact of that in the interest income? And if you could quantify what is how much is that reversal which is happening in this quarter?
So I think 16 crore rupees additional provisioning we have done on this, and around 5 crore interest reversal, so around 20-21 crore rupees impact on this quarter balance sheet.
Got it, sir. And for during 4Q, so till January and in February, March, what would you expect in terms of recovery from these higher the GS3A portfolio? Are you already seeing some traction in decline in it?
So, Aditya, this has come as a boon for us because there was a sticky portfolio of around 2%, which used to be 61 to 90. They used to pay one installment. With this guideline coming on 14 November and all working in first 45 days, this has reduced from around 2% to 0.89. And I have told in January, again, overall portfolio has further improved by 20 basis points. So from 1.7 to around 1.5 range is already achieved, and even on 1 plus 6.45 to 6.25. So I think we will try our level best and best of efforts to give better performance on collections in this quarter. It's also like we have done in Q3. Our Q4 guideline we have achieved in Q3 itself on collections. So I can't predict future number, but I think we will continue doing the better job on that side.
Got it. And just last thing, the LCR, is it being, we've reported a number, is it being carried at the 60% requirement, or are we carrying higher, and if it is higher, then do we have any plan of reducing it?
We have substantially higher LCR, and because we have around 1300 crore rupees fixed deposit and other investment in the GSEC. So I think we are far above than what is the regulatory requirement.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Prakhar Agarwal from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Three questions. First, to start with, in terms of your gross stage 3 and the rise that we have seen in that, how are you seeing the stage 3 provisions moving in? So, if I were to just look at last year or so, that number has dropped from 29% to 23-24% now. Given the fact that now the pool might be even more stickier, how do you think, what level of provision cover will you be comfortable with?
So, Prakhar, Ghanshyamji is replying.
Prakhar, stage 3, if you see stage 3 and 3B, there are two components. We published in our result. And 3A also, we made almost a similar provision what we have made for 3B. So, combinedly, we see stage 3 is adequately provided for in the balance sheet. We don't see any extra provisions, any sort of terminal loss will be higher than what we have provided, or what we already provided as a provision.
So the question is more from a strategic perspective. Do you think that 23-24% is somewhere you will be comfortable with, or you will again take this to 29-30% over a period of time?
I think 23-24% is good number.
Sakar, again, I will say here, this is a six-monthly process, which as per India's guideline, auditors and management team do the review of the data. And accordingly, they come to a formula which is sufficient for the balance sheet. I think last review happened in September, and there this number was static. Again in March, they will review, but as per management view, I think we are better on the better side of this number.
Got it. Just again on this, the second part, and this is more of a data keeping. If you could just highlight if it was 83 basis point of gross stage 3 that you said, apart from RBI regulation, what would have been home loan and other mortgage loans stage 3? Just for a comparison sake, if I were to look at compared to last quarter.
So you are saying HL and other side, na?
Yeah.
Yes. Just give me one sec. Stage 3B, housing loan 0.84, non-housing loan 0.79.
Got it.
And
Got it. So just one last question. Have we utilized any COVID provision this quarter? So we were carrying some chunk around 340-350 million last quarter. Given what we have seen between restructured and COVID provision, so while there has been a rise in restructured book provision that we made, but we seem to have utilized the COVID related provision. Is that a fair?
Oh, yeah. Because so accounts which got normalized or foreclosed, on that we have released the provision. Press provision is still in the balance sheet.
And when do we see, when we tend to utilize this extra buffer, any thought process around this?
I think we will review situation every quarter, and as the things will get normalized and as per auditors and management decision. But normally we do it either if your account is 18 months in normal situation, stage 1, or if the account is foreclosed, then we release the provision.
Okay. Just one last data question, if I may, excuse me. What was the assignment income this quarter and subsequently last quarter? That number, assignment income.
Yeah, assignment income for this quarter is 45 crore rupees versus last quarter 33 crore rupees.
Got it.
If you refer our detail sheet, we give the detailed information of reversal of earlier assignment transactions also. So in this quarter, 21 crore rupees got reversal of earlier transactions versus last quarter, 18 crore rupees.
Okay, so 18 versus 21 and 33
versus 45.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Net 15 versus 20. 15 versus 25.
And last year Q3 was also 40.5 crore rupees.
Got it.
Yeah, refer our sheet and presentation. We have published in detail.
I'll do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Karthik Chellappa from Buena Vista Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. Three questions from my side. What will it take or what signals are you waiting for to accelerate disbursement from the home loan segment? For the last two quarters, that segment has been seeing a sub 20% disbursement growth, whereas the non-mortgage segment has been seen very strong. So what are the signals that you are looking for to accelerate your disbursement growth in mortgages?
Yeah, so like Karthik, we always say overall basis we attempt for 75-25. And I think this quarter, hopefully, we should be around 72 to 28 kind of numbers. And home loan segment, yes, we will start pushing more. But as you know, we have more business on self-construction side where disbursement happened in 5 stages. So when we are doing this business also, this will have impact in next 5 to 6 months. So the business on that side is also on a gungo basis. It's good, but since it's tranche based disbursement, so earlier businesses tranche is already got reduced. So now whatever new business we are booking, the disbursement is happening on tranche, so some effect on that part, and some effect on just new business, which will be, so we will be around 70 to 28 or 70-30 this quarter itself.
Okay, got it. And sir, second question, what was the like-to-like average increments that you have provided to your field staff? The context in which I ask this question is the 37 to 39% OPEX growth that we have seen for the last two quarters seem to be slightly on the higher side relative to trends. And if you are going to be adding only like 30 to 40 branches, which is like a 10 to 12% increase in branch count, what is the kind of OPEX growth that we should build in, at least for the next 1 to 2 years?
Yeah, so Patrick, as we always tell that 35 to 40% of our OPEX are disbursement linked. And if you compare from last year to this year, our disbursement has grown 9 months, which is 40%. So the variable cost has increased in that proportion. But if you will see, so aap dekhenge, manpower cost has increased from 57 crore to 60 crore. That is not the much growth. But like in COVID time, the discretionary expenses on advertisement side, traveling, IT, and those side of the expenses, yeah, and now since we want to have that 25% kind of growth, the head count has also increased, which we have not increased last year. And anyway, 35 branches year on year opening will have some cost impact. But so to your point, 57 to 60 on manpower, but variable expenses, as we always say, that will increase in proportion of business increase, and advertisement and other expenses I've told you, which was on hold last year, is now on the normal path. But again, the way I explained on the first question, because we have pre-invested for the further business capacity, which I've said that last 2 months number are always anyway 375 crore plus disbursement numbers. So these numbers will anyway, within next 2 to 3 quarters, you will see 25 to 30 basis point reduction anyway. And we continue for that trajectory again for 2 to 3 years from here on.
Got it. Last question, Sushilji, is the 0.89% of NPA, which has been added because of the
regular. The operator, I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Chellappa, your audio is breaking. Could you... fix the line, sir?
Sure. Is this any better now?
Yes, it is. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Okay, great. Sir, my last question is the 0.89% of NPA that we have actually seen because of the RBI circular. Under the old Ind AS format, how much of this 0.89% would be in stage 2 and how much would be in stage 1?
So, mostly it is stage 2.
Mostly stage 1.
So, out of total 76 crore rupees, 4 crore rupees in 1 to 30 DPD, around 12 crore in 31 to 60 DPD, and 60 crore in 61 to 90 DPD.
Okay, so mostly in the 61 to 90. Okay, I have a few follow-up, but I'll come back in the queue. Thank you very much and wish you all the best, Sushilji and Ghanshyamji.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shripal Doshi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. So, firstly, a data keeping question. What would be the number for asset held for sale in the balance sheet? I think that number as on 21 was close to 22 crore on the gross level. So, what would that number be for 9 months?
Give us something. Balance sheet number. 20.4.
So we've seen some resolution happening there, and therefore the number has come off.
You can see the NPA number going down. This will have both the side of the impact now.
Right. So, but this is not part of our stage 1, 2, 3, right?
Yeah.
In last 9 months.
But in this bracket, I think 2-3 crore rupees is getting added every month, and more than that is getting resolved. So mostly you will see this number is stick with around 2 years, around the same number.
Got it, right. And sir, the second question was with respect to the branch expansion. So in the last, say from FY19 onwards, we've added close to 90 branches, of which close to 50-55% is in newer states like UP, Karnataka, Haryana, Punjab. So is it also having an influence on our loan book mix changing with respect to non-HL share increasing and also salaried customer share increasing?
So, two things. One is salaried, yes, NHL, no. Because new state, we do less non-HL business. But salaried, yes, in the new state, we do more secure business initially. And for understanding the SCNB business, it takes 2 to 3 years' time.
Got it. So broadly, that is having some influence in the mix sort of changing.
I have told last time also, we started journey with 12% and now borrowing at 5.9%. So that pricing also, there will be some mix change because we will be able to attract more salaried customer in our bouquet.
Got it. All right. So one last question was with respect to our sourcing strategy. So while we have been one of those HFCs who is having 100% sourcing to our own employees, but are we exploring other avenues for lead generation? Because we had an application which was something like Avas Mitra app, and we were, you know, building in that digital sourcing infrastructure also. So are we looking at, you know, exploring, you know, or having a diversified sourcing platform for us? Or we will continue to have a...
We will continue our journey on pilot run on alternate channels. Right now, this has become 6-7% of total business. We intend to take it to 15% in next 2 to 3 years.
And that will be driven by some incentives?
So in this Avas Mitra profile, we have very less incentive, more on the learning more and relationship and business generation for both sides. And digital more, we don't do any incentive. It's a digital and marketing initiative where we're getting lots of leads from website, Facebook, social media, and other digital more where we can access our customer base plus existing customer base reference.
No matter.
Now we have almost 40,000 plus customers downloaded our Learn app from where they can directly refer the customer to us.
So there's no response from this participant line. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sushilji, Ghanshyamji,
Namaste. Namaskar.
First of all, on a more longer term basis, just wanted to revisit our ROA tree, starting with kind of a spread and NIM, including our fee income, etc., expenses, credit cost, pre-tax, and ROA. If you can just drop the schematic ROA tree.
Yeah, sir. So, sir, we always have kept that on a 6-10 leverage basis. We will be able to give 2.5% kind of ROA on sustained basis. 2.5% ROA, gross it up by tax. Then you can assume around 50 basis points for credit cost. Then operating cost will be on a long-term sustainable basis. It will be around 2-2.5%. And then the spread plus, so you can say NIM around it. So right now, this is like 8.6% of NIM and then around 3.34% of OPEX. Our credit cost is somewhere around, on rota tree, credit cost is around 0.5%. Yeah, 46 basis points. We see that as we will scale up, our spread will go down as we envisaged when we came for the IPO last three, four years. We said that this 5% spread can go down up to 4%, but because of market conditions and our sourcing, we were able to maintain that spread. OpEx-wise, last two years, we were consistently going down because of this COVID and investment in new business lines. We want to scale up our business capacity of 2,000 crore rupees per month for next four, five years kind of scenario. One or two months COVID impacted in 12 years balance sheet. It is showing our OpEx by 30 basis points up, but I am sure that we will continue our journey of 25-30 basis points going down year-on-year basis. On a steady state basis, you will see around 2.5-2.6% consistent ROA with 6-7 times leverage book in our balance sheet.
Which means we are talking of a sustainable NIM of about 7.5%.
NIM-wise calculation I need to do, yes, but maybe yes, right.
Yeah, because our ROA at about 2.5-2.6 will mean pre-tax margin will be 3.5%. Add to that the credit cost and OpEx of 2.5%. That makes it around 6.5%-7%.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Consistently, we can deliver that number.
NIM of 6.5%-7%.
Yes, sir.
When you say.
Spread is coming down to 4.25%, which is right now 5.76%.
Sorry, come again on that.
No, which means that the spread coming down from 5.76% to around 2% less.
Yeah, which is a sharp assumption. This is something on a more longer term basis sustainable.
Yes.
While it will be careful.
I have kept from initial time that we can sustainably give 2.5% ROA on 6-7 times leverage book consistently for next five to six years. No issues on that.
Yeah. Which means our actual deliverable numbers will be better than this, because what we are assuming on ROA and what we achieve.
Sir, I mean, like in those quarters, ROE is somewhere around.
13.2.
Sorry.
13.
13.62. 14% ROE quarters. With sort of business number and market scenario increases, it will COVID ke extra provisioning vagera hat jayegi, to 15-16% ROE to is near term. Our balance sheet is already in that position.
No, it should be more. That is because of extra liquidity that you have. In a normalized balance sheet at some stage.
हाँ सर, वो भी कम होती जा रही है, आप देखेंगे। इसलिए मैंने बोला था कि NIM is increasing for us despite spread is sustained, maintained because liquidity versus total balance sheet size, it is coming down.
Sure. When you say leverage.
पहले जब balance sheet 8,000 crore की थी, तब भी 1,500 crore cash था। अब balance sheet is coming around 11,000 crore. Still cash is around 1,300 crore rupees. Income generating asset is getting increased, which is the way we explain the things.
नहीं, वो तो ठीक है। That I normalize in my calculation when you for that excess liquidity. It is normatively it is part of the leverage in order to work out the normative ROE.
Correct.
That's it. That's fine. Sushil, the leverage when you say 6-7 times, that means 1 rupee of net worth and 6-7 rupee of the leverage, right? That means 7-8 rupee of total capital.
It's, I say, loan book divided by capital.
That means leverage of 6-7 is actually 5-6 times leverage.
हाँ सर, हाँ सर। मतलब अगर 7 times leverage हो जाएगा तो मतलब 1:6 हो जाएगा।
हाँ, 1 रुपये की नेटवर्थ और 5 से 6 रुपये का बोरोइंग, ₹6 टोटल फंड्स।
यस सर।
ओके, सो इट्स नॉट लीवरेज 6 to 7, इट्स 5 to 6।
ओके,
या आई थिंक दैट। हेलो,
यस सर।
So I was just saying that so far OPEX and operating leverage is not played out as probably we believe it will. At what stage revenue expansion will start overtaking expenditure expansion? What kind of a time frame do you think it will start happening?
So, Bharat sir, if we will exclude this year, because we have given increments and all those which were pending, and like last year, because of our variable nature of expenses, we have reduced in tune to the tune of disbursement. If you will see, other than that, we were able to reduce our OPEX year-on-year basis 30 to 40 basis points year-on-year. And so increase in revenue versus increase in expense, I think next 12 to 18 months we will be in that line, so that operating leverage will start showing in that time frame in the balance sheet.
In 12 to 18 months' time.
Yes.
From that phase onwards, we'll start seeing probably that 25-30% OPEX drop.
No, I think 30 to 40 basis points, yes, but on ATS side, on absolute number side, yes, that will be there. So if business will increase, say, 25%, OPEX will not be growing in that line.
Sure. And while your OnePlus DPD numbers have improved, I was still a bit surprised, given our conservative kind of a treatment with the RBI revised norms, our NPA recognition went up sharply. I was a bit surprised by that.
So, sir, normally if you will see, if we say that our OnePlus is 6.5%, so NPA numbers was around 1%, and then the middle layer, which is 30 to 90, which was around 2-2.5%, and 1 to 30 was around 2-2.5%. So that 2.25%, 61 to 90 bucket, has, because of this, because we have started initiating SARFAESI at that stage, that has significantly come down, but that number was always like that only. So 60+ number in the balance sheet was always around 2+1, so around 3%, and when it used to be 4% OnePlus, that number used to be 1.75%. Because some portion of customer always give one installment every month, but two installment which they have missed in the past, it takes 6 to 9 months, but because of COVID situation, that remain outstanding and they continue paying one installment every month.
Okay. But credit cost sustainable, 0.5% is realistic, right?
Sir, I think at this point, yeah, this is realistic, but I will tell you, this cost has three component attached to it. One, we are carrying around 10 to 11 crore rupees of COVID-19 impact, around 15-16 crore rupees of restructuring impact, and then this new RBI guideline, 16 crore kind of impact. So effectively 10 plus 20 plus 15, so around 30 plus 45. So out of 80 crore rupees of ECL closing, 45 crore closing is on account of certain heads. So our balance sheet is well provisioned for next 18 to 24 months in advance.
Ji, one last question. Pure buffer provision is on 31st December on account of SARFAESI is how much? Meaning all ECL provisions are taken care of, any other mandated write-offs are all carried out. In addition to that, pure buffer provision management overlay is how much?
So, sir, like I will say cold provisioning is that, and then on this RBI guideline provisioning also we have done equivalent to 90 days. We have not taken a view that this is less provision, so we have provided full provision on this balance sheet also. So normal term stage 2 provisioning were around 10%, where we have provisioned 22% on that also.
So buffer provision additional hai, contingency provision, which is nothing to do with any asset or anything, purely as a prudence management overlay we are carrying.
So that is around 10 crore rupees.
Achha, okay. Thank you, Sushilji.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Dhaval Gada from DSP. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sushilji. Thank you for the opportunity. So actually, sir, I wanted to sort of probe a little bit more on the OPEX part. So actually, I was looking at the first 9 month data for FY22 and comparing it with the first 9 month of FY20. And, you know, whichever metric, be it cost to income, cost to asset, you know, even if you look at employee cost to disbursement, across metric, there is hardly any improvement per se. So just I wanted to understand a little bit more around, you know, how you think about OPEX and why are we not able to see the, you know, benefit come through. So if you could be a little bit more specific in terms of the...
You are talking about FY20 or FY21?
2020. Pre-COVID versus tapi, matlab pehle 9 months and versus that, the first 9 months of FY20. So, from that perspective, not much improvement is visible.
Yeah, so well, that will not be there because, as I've told you, first is there impact of business because we are dividing it by business. So, current year also, first month and now 15 days, so 1.5 months business got impacted because of COVID. And if we will add that kind of business, all the ratios will be better. Second is, because last year of COVID, we have not increased the manpower, which now we have increased by 1,000 plus people. Keeping in mind future growth and the kind of consistency we want to maintain. And third point is, I will say that in business proportion, we have 35 to 40% of the cost, which is in line with our business kind of growth. This year, I think that growth is already there, 40%, so that cost has also increased. But yes, on ATA basis, because last year business got impacted by 3 months and this year business got impacted by 1.5 months, because of that 400-500 crore rupees AUM is less, so this number is looking like this.
And especially in terms of the cost structure, is there any material change in the last 2 years in terms of the branch-led cost or, you know, any fixed cost structure, any major change that one needs to be aware of?
No change in that side. Mostly, as I mentioned, around 35% of our costs are variable costs, which is inching up in tune of disbursement growth. And around 65% of our costs are the fixed nature costs.
Understood. And just one, you know, other point which I wanted to understand is on sourcing. I mean, I understand that bulk of our sourcing, almost 65-70%, comes from referrals. So basically, this cost linked to you know, disbursement. What? How exactly one can think about? I mean. Because if I understand right, we don't incentivize our employees on disbursement. It's on number of customers, if I remember right. So just, I mean, if you could explain how one should think about this 35-40%, like what's the link?
No. So our sales cost, around 40% cost is attributable to variable side in terms of disbursement. So though we get customer reference, but sales team get incentive on disbursement as well number of files, both sides.
Understood. And in terms of sourcing, apart from referral, could you share like the you shared the data around alternate channel. So we, if you remember, like we had made the investments around you know, the telecalling, the digital sourcing. So how big are those businesses? Like how much they account for sourcing now?
And in terms of DSA also, we were piloting. So how big is the DSA part, if you could just...
So DSA part will be around 1% or less. And the other channels, I have told you, 6 to 7%.
All put together?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And the last data point is on rejection rate. Is there any material change compared to earlier trend or broadly similar?
No, broadly similar. We are sourcing somewhere around 1500 crore rupees and disbursing now around 375 to 400 crore rupees a month.
Perfect, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Pooja Ahuja from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Sir, firstly, wanted to understand, we've increased investment in our subsidiary this quarter. So, what are our plans in terms of, you know, the business here? Do we intend to sort of...
Pooja, so when earlier we have applied, there was a limit of 2 crore rupees net on fund in the NBFC. And later on, when we reapplied for that license, now the minimum capital requirement is 10 crore rupees. So to meet that requirement, we have transferred the funds.
Okay, all right. Okay, okay, sure. And sir, I wanted to understand how much was the write-off, if at all, any in this quarter?
Total 9 months, I think it's 1.9, but I will tell you about this quarter.
Very minimal.
Oh yeah, we will come back to you, but for 9 months, 1.9.
Okay. Okay, sure, sir. And lastly, wanted to understand, so we had earlier in the last quarter mentioned that we'll be adding about 30-35 branches. And so far in this financial year, we've added about 18 branches. So the branch addition is likely to come in the next quarter?
No. So Pooja, you will see 12 months to 12 months, we have added 35 branches. And every year, we open around 15 to 20 branches in last quarter. So we are on track. We will be around 314 to 315 branches this year itself. So around 34 to 35 branches adding this year also.
Okay, okay. Got it, got it. That's it for mine. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So, Pooja, I think negligible, around no write-offs this quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would like to hand the floor back to Mr. Sushil Agarwal for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you all for attending the call. We valued your suggestions and remarks. We will continue our endeavor to give consistent business metrics and more better asset quality on our book. For any further information, we request you to get in touch with Himanshu in our investor relationship team or SGA or IR advisor. They would be happy to help you. Thank you all. Thank you for participating. And thank you very much.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Aavas Financiers Limited, we conclude this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.